Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This morning, Psalm 51. Last Sunday morning, it was Psalm 1. Obviously, one of the Psalms, one of the Sunday mornings, is going to be the 23rd Psalm. And then I got a Psalm I want to share that you probably not even, doesn't even come to your mind. It's one of the great Psalms, but it truly, truly is one of the great Psalms. Now, Psalm 1 last week, just a review, how to succeed, how to know success, sweet success from heaven. Number one, you don't listen to the world. You don't take your counsel. Stop hanging out with some of the people you're hanging out with. Teachers having itching ears. Number two, you don't look like the world. You don't smell like the world, talk like the world, walk like the world. Man, that's not how it happens. Number three, you don't think like the world. And that was the third point last Sunday morning. And then you delight in the Word of God and you meditate in the Word of God. You get the Bible all over you. That comes by day by day reading and studying the Word of God, going to a Bible preaching, Bible practicing church where the preacher stands in the pulpit, opens his Bible and preaches line upon line and precept upon precept. Man, you'll develop such a hunger, and it is such a satisfying truth. Only the Word of God satisfies the soul. The bottle never will. You're going to get to the bottom of that bottle, spend all your money, and you're going to find, oh man, that's not where it's at. Drugs never will. Wacky tobacco, I know it's the thing in Michigan, right? Never going to do it. Never. Religion's not going to do it. But Christ does by way of the Word of God. It just meat and potatoes. I love that. I don't want to preach last Sunday morning's message, but so those five things were mentioned last Sunday. This morning, I want to preach on the missing ingredient. You can have all the other things, but if you miss this, it's just religion is all it is. You can have, it's just like if you miss the right ingredient, and some of you are great cooks. Some of you are great bakers. And God bless you because there are not a lot of Rader ladies that are gifted that way. Now, there are some in this generation. I'm talking about Ma Rader. She had a reputation. The present Ma Rader, she has a reputation as well. And I remember, I just thought about this. Let me just share this real quick story. Just take me a second. Mom and Dad had just gotten saved. We were over in the other end, Escanaba, Bark River area, and the preacher came. You know, Dad's testimony and Mom's testimony, they're both in heaven now. They got born again. Man, all they had before was religion. When the gospel was explained to them, they bowed their head, they repented of their sin. Man, they got born again. What a changed lives. And I remember the first time a Baptist preacher, our pastor, came and visited in our home. Now, that makes ladies nervous. It actually makes men sometimes nervous. You would not be surprised to find out many times when I'm out knocking on doors, I'm walking down the sidewalk or up their driveway, and I can hear the TV on inside, and I knock on the door, and sometimes I hear something like this: "It's the preacher." Nobody comes to the door. That really does something for my ego. I want you to know that. And some of you people are here this morning. I was in your homes last week. I'm just a regular guy. You don't have to. Your home doesn't need to be a museum where everything's in order. Man, I'm just there to help. I grew up in a home just like many people in the Upper Peninsula grow up in. And our house isn't always everything in order as well. If you live in it, it can't be a museum. And, you know, at any rate, the preacher comes to our house, and Mom and Dad, they don't know how to act. And it really is kind of humorous, and they're putting on their best airs. They almost used the old English when they talked. I think, this is my mom, and this is my dad. And they sat down in the kitchen, and my mom always made homemade pickles, and she had pickles in a crock. And that was after salvation. Before salvation, she made dandelion wine all the time. But she got born again, and that was out. And we didn't have to pick dandelions anymore. But she's making these pickles, and the preacher comes in. He sits down there visiting. Hey, she called him Reverend. Reverend, would you like a pickle? So, oh, yeah, I love pickles. He's a good pastor. He's a people person, right? So she gets a pickle out of the crock and hands it to him on a plate, and he takes it, and he crunches. And he chews it a little bit. And you could, the shock was on his face, but he didn't. He thought he hit it. It was like, hey, are they good? You like them? Oh, yeah, they're real good. How many remember that Andy Griffith episode where Aunt Bee made those pickles? That was it. My dad walks in from the barn. said, oh, the pastor's here, you know, and sits down and says, pickle, ho. And so he grabs a pickle, and my dad, in his very subtle way, took a crunch out of the pickle, tasted it for half a second, spit it out of his mouth across the kitchen, and said, you've been soaking these things in kerosene? You know, and everybody was, mom was embarrassed, and dad wasn't, the preacher wasn't, they all laughed. They laughed about that for years. Something was missing in mom's pickles. All the religion in the world, it might be you're doing the right thing religiously. As far, you know, you're not listening to the world. You're not looking like the world. You're dressing right. You're talking right. You're not going to the same places the world goes to find sin and debauchery. You're no longer, as a child of God, you're not thinking like the world. You're loving the word of God. You're coming to church. You're being faithful the way you ought. But something's missing. And Psalm 51 reveals that something that is missing and all too much of what is called New Testament Christianity. Stand with me, please, and let me read just a few verses out of these 19 verses. I want to preach on what is missing. I've made this observation. I believe it is real. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and have done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, pray your blessing on the word of God. Pray you'd make it real this morning. I pray to be concise. I don't want to be verbose or overspeak. I don't want to dwell on something that does not need to be dwelt on. We pray the Holy Spirit would bless in the preaching of your word. And in today, you'd get a hold of the hearts of your children and perhaps those that are not born again, and they'd surrender to you and be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God is good to me. God is good to me every day that I'm alive. God is better to me than I rightly deserve in any way, shape, or form. I testify before we read what David and preach what David said here, that if God's blessing stopped today, if God stopped blessing Tim Rader this moment, I still have reason to praise him. On my worst day, my name is still written and recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, if God just, all the blessings stopped. I mean, the bottom fell out. I mean, it was like Job times 10 all over again. If I had both my arms amputated, both my legs amputated, my tongue cut out, and I just laid in a bed like a trunk with just a trunk and just my head, man, I could bang my head on the bedpost to the tune of Amazing Grace. I owe him that much. He has, we've got to get away from the narcissism where we think God owes us. We owe our Savior, if you're born again, everything. We've got eternity in front of us. The goodness of God is everywhere. But here's what happens. We get out in the world. We get involved in something we ought not to get involved in. It's not long. And we drift away from God. King David experienced this. This is a penitential psalm. This is a psalm where David is confessing his sin. This is the man after God's own heart. This is the man that God raised up to take the place of Saul, and he's a leader. He's the king of the nation of Israel, and he prepares finances and building materials for his son that's going to build the temple. In many ways, Israel is at its zenith. He knows the blessings of God, but you're very familiar with the great sin of David. When David sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery, and everything got cold as iron. His joy was gone. He was distant from God. Background, for 18 months, David couldn't sleep. For 18 months, he prayed. It was like his prayers bounced off the ceiling. He was so far from God. Just the opposite of everything he knew up till this point. It was because of personal sin. Something was missing in David's life, and it comes down to one word, repentance. Repentance. I want to dwell on that a little bit this morning. First, let's look at the scripture. David cries out, "Have mercy upon me, O God." He wants the mercy of God. "According to thy loving kindness, according to the unto the multitude of thy tender mercies," plural, "blot out my transgressions." That's an Old Testament term. In the Old Testament believers had their sins covered. In the New Testament, our sins are washed away. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 2 says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned." David is guilty. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you would turn there quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now this is what happens as I get older. I've got a certain amount of energy and I run out. I run the tank dry pretty quick. And so therefore, I want to get everything in about 20 or 25 minutes as quickly as I can. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And let me turn my fan up a little bit higher up here, because I can do that up here. You people that are out there, you just sit there and sweat and you listen real good, all right? 2 Samuel chapter 12, "The Lord said unto Nathan, sent Nathan unto David. He came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one a rich and the other a poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. And the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew together with him and with his children. And he did eat it." It was a pet, a part of the family almost. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man and that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said unto Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." He's condemning himself. "He took Bathsheba, another man's wife. Uriah, a faithful soldier to King David. He took Uriah's wife and took her unto him, and he committed the sin of adultery. And then he tried to cover it up and had Uriah killed in battle and then married Bathsheba, hoping the whole thing would be covered up. And of course, even though he thought it was a secret sin, God saw it all along. And what was going on is the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28 and 13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." We already read in Psalm 1, if you do these five things, you're going to prosper. God is going to bless you. You're going to be fruitful. But King Solomon says in the Proverbs, if you cover your sin, you'll not prosper. Sin lieth at the door. David thought it was a secret sin, and he had it all covered up, but he couldn't hide from God. And he is someone who is born again. Old Testament born again, looking ahead to Calvary. He is a man after God's own heart. So when David sinned, after that sin, even though he seemingly covered it up, he was crushed. He was broken. He was convicted. And until David got to the place where he repented of his sin, it wasn't going to be taken care of. The prophet Nathan comes to David after hearing the story, and David condemned the man that, with the little parable here with the lamb, which ended up being a not true, because Nathan was actually talking about David. And Nathan, the prophet, stuck his bony finger in King David's nose and said, right up to his face, and said, "Thou art the man, David. You're the man that committed the adultery." And you know, David said, "How'd you know?" God saw the whole thing. It separated you from God. Like the prophet Isaiah says, our sins separate us from God. Now, let me say this, and we're getting into the psalm right now. I just got a couple of simple things I want to share with you, and it'll be done. You cannot lose your salvation. When you get born again, you're a child of God. You cannot be aborted. God doesn't abort his children. God doesn't disown you. The scripture says you're in the hand of God and nothing can take you out. Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh to me, him that cometh to me, the Father giveth to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Once you're born again, you're born again. But if you're guilty of sin, and we all are, and we do not repent of that sin, now we're building up a barrier. You can't sweep the sin under the proverbial rug, because we sin every day. And you know that everybody's going to know what that big lump is underneath the rug before long. But bigger than that, of course, God knows what it is. And David understands. He says, "Man, I got one hope. I can't pretend. I can't hide. It was my flesh. I did wrong. I chose poorly. It was debauchery. It was an abomination to God. I sinned. And not only did I sin against Uriah and sin against Bathsheba, not only that, it was bigger than that. He sinned against the holy God. Look what it says here in Psalm 51, verse 4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He's a child of God. This is a picture today of the New Testament Christian that gets born again and then starts living like the world. And the prayers don't get answered. They hear about other prayers getting answered, other people's prayers getting answered, but theirs don't. And it isn't long and they're in the land that's distant from God, and they're miserable, and their soul is vexed, and it's a terrible way to live. The most miserable people on earth are backslidden, forgiven New Testament Christians that are living, they're born again, and they're living like the world. And there's a barrier that separates between you and your Savior. Your name is still written down. You're still a child of God. But here's what David understood. God, you're holy. You've never done any sin. And you sent heaven's best to pay for my sin. You sent your only son. We wouldn't send our sons to save the world. You sent your only begotten son that I might have eternal life. And we still have the commands of Scripture. We still have the moral law, the Decalogue. You know, sin is still sin. And right is still right. And I've offended a holy God. What needs to happen in David's life, he needs to agree with God about his sin and stop coloring it with the color he wants. He needs to agree with God. That's part of confession. Repenting is turning from our sin. It's twofold, and turning to God, a holy God. Let me just ask you this before we read the rest of the psalm. When's the last time you wept over personal sin? We cry out loud over the sins of America and our culture and all that's going on in lives of people all around us. Do you walk with God? When's the last time you committed sin, God crushed your heart, you were repentant, and you asked for forgiveness? Or are you a lot farther from God than you realize? We're way too casual. We got to strike a balance. We are saved by grace. Glory to God. We're going to heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. We who are not a people, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, I think it is. We who are not a people are now a people. Man, we were unsaved sinner men, sinner women, sinner children. Man, we have no right to heaven, and God made us a people who were not a people. Made us a holy nation when we're not a holy nation. He adopted us into the family of God. Romans in chapter 8 says that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ as far as the eternal glory is concerned. We'll never be deity, but we're part of the family. We're adopted into the family of God. We're saved by grace. Only use, Galatians chapter 5, don't use that liberty for the occasion to the flesh. Too much today is casual. So I'm trying to make it so everybody could understand, even that doesn't have a Bible background. We come to Jesus just like we are, just like the song says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's all I got. That's all I got. Nothing in my hand I bring, man. I'm coming as a sinner, and I'm coming to Jesus and the finished work of the cross. God forgive me and God save me, and salvation comes to our house. Salvation comes to our being, and we're a child of God. God takes us the way we are, but after we get saved, we have a responsibility to grow in grace. We have a responsibility to learn the Word of God. Nobody is going to stand as a child of God at the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and say, God, I didn't know. He said, wait a minute, I gave you a book. You had a whole life. Don't tell me you didn't know. You know, that will not be an excuse. So we've got to strike this fine line between being saved by grace, and we are. I take nothing away from that. That's the only way we're going to get it. Saved by grace, the righteousness of Christ applied to me, his imputed righteousness to me. That's the only way I go to heaven. Now, for me to live my life as a child of God and live like the world, go out drinking, go out cussing, go out running around, you know, light up, do whatever. I'm going to live like the world and dress like the world and la-di-da-da. It doesn't matter. Man, something does not sound right there. Either that's way too casual. Either they never really got born again, and only they would know that, or they're a long ways from God. And they're making a mockery of the mercy of God. They are cynically destroying the very definition of the grace of God. Now, we're saved by grace. If Adolf Hitler got saved the last hours on this earth, like it or not, he's in heaven. If he received Christ as his Savior. You see, Saul was no different than Adolf Hitler. And he ends up being the Apostle Paul. It's grace. There are going to be a lot of people in heaven you don't expect to see. You didn't expect. Man, I never thought you'd be here. But they got born again. All right? And then there'll be a lot of people not in heaven you thought were going to be there. Because they never got born again. Let's go back to Psalm. Psalm 51. I unloaded right there. Let me read fast. Verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He says, right from the get-go. David says, right from the beginning, right from the get-go, I was a sinner by act and by fact. Verse 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God's desire is inner purity, holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's right in the New Testament. That's preaching. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Jesus is holy, so I'm not supposed to be getting more and more like the world. I'm supposed to be getting more and more like Jesus. Purge me with hyssop. That's Old Testament lingo. The hyssop is an indigenous bush. They actually use that to sprinkle the blood of the lamb over the door and on either side on the night of the Passover. So he says, I got to be clean. I need a fresh application of the blood atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Sin takes away our joy. Sin takes away healing. You can travel this pilgrimage of life and be wounded and crippled up your whole time spiritually, and God did not intend it to be that way. You might have, the joy is gone, and you become cynical, and you laugh at brothers and sisters in the Lord that are right in the middle of the blessings of God. Too bad for you. You're on the outside looking in. But David here says, I know I sinned. By the way, he committed 3 capital crimes when he committed that sin. He was worthy of death, according to the Old Testament law, 3 times over. 3 times over. So you know, when he's talking about the mercy of God and the grace of God, he knows exactly what he's talking about. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. He says, make me to hear joy. God, make it like it used to be, and gladness. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. David is so ashamed of what he has done. Can you imagine the shame of being on the throne in Israel, the leader of the nation of God's people, and he's committed this sin? Man, there weren't tabloids back then to my knowledge, but you know it was all over Jerusalem, all over the palace, all over the nation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Make it new again. That's what the word renew means. God, make it like it used to be. It can happen. For those that are here this morning and you've drifted away from God, it can be just like the day after you got saved, if you repent of your sin. You can know the joy of the Lord again. You've been drinking out of the poison wells of the world. How's that going? How's your belly feel this morning? What a wicked culture we live in. What a hopeless, Christless culture. You been to any funerals lately? You been to any bedsides of people that have died without Christ of late? Man, you need the joy of the Lord again. Souls are at stake. He says, hide thy face from my sins. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. This is Old Testament theology here. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That doesn't happen in the New Testament. Restore unto me the joy, there it is again, of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David wants to minister again. He wants to be a blessing again. He knows what it is to be smack dab in the middle of the will of God for his life. He remembers what that joy was like. He wants to get back there again. I still hear periodically, because of where I grew up, periodically, old classmates, and so, Tim Rader. In fact, I talked to a man this last week in the gravel pit right over here. And he actually is a cousin of mine, but I haven't seen him in years and years and years. And right out of, I got out of high school, while I was in Bible college, I led Bob to Christ. And Bob got born again. And I witnessed to him again there in the gravel pit. And he said, hey, I believe. I received Christ. He said, he calls me Chip. I said, Chip, I just don't go to church. He was ashamed about it. I said, well, that's okay. And again, I hear this all the time. I still can't believe that you're a preacher. Yeah, Tim Rader, I can't believe you're a preacher. And I tell, just like David says after this, it's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. If God can do it for me, he can do it for you. Man, it can be like it used to be. Let's read on here. Get through the psalm. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. He was worthy of death. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. You see, the law demanded the death of King David, but he got the mercy of God. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. That's humility. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Again, there is no big shots. There are no big shots in the family of God. And God will never, never reject the prayer of a repentant sinner. You come to God this morning, truly repenting of your sin, turning from your sin, not perfect, but turning from your sin, knowing, agreeing with God what it's all about, and turning to God. That is repentance. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that word confess means to literally agree with God. Forget about agreeing with the world. Forget about agreeing with the culture on what is right and wrong. How about agreeing with God on what is right and wrong? Get a hold of the Word of God. It's black, it's white. It's evil, it's right. It's righteousness. It's good, it's bad. Agree with God. Agree with what God says about the sin and confess it to Him. Turn from Him. Turn from that sin. Turn to Him. He'll hear that prayer every time. And he'll cleanse you of your sin. And He'll make it like it used to be. We worship a merciful God. We don't have time to turn there. I'm done. Hebrews chapter 10. I was going to try to go through that text this morning. Here's good news. It doesn't take thousands of the blood of thousands of bulls and thousands of goats for you to have forgiveness of sin. Jesus went to the cross one time. It doesn't have to be done every day. It doesn't have to be done over and over again. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He said in the book of Hebrews, every day the priest had to come day after day because it was never done. It was never finished. And people were still sinning. But Jesus one time went to the cross. The very Lamb of God, the very Son of God. And he died on our behalf. He shed his blood. That is the blood atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And then he rose again from the dead. That's the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. He did it for us. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, come to Christ this morning. If you are born again and you've drifted away from God, you know who you are. You're a long ways from God this morning. Man, it used to be you were at every choir practice. Every chance you had an opportunity to serve, you served. Man, there was nothing holding you. Wild horses couldn't keep you back. You used to be so in love with God. What's happened is there's been no repentance. The sins have piled up. Still saved. But those sins have come between you and your God. It's a missing ingredient. That's why there's no altar calls at church services in so many places. There's no call to repentance. And again, it's not salvation. You repent when you get saved. You know that sorrow for personal sin. That's heart sorrow. You know you're a sinner. You need a Savior. And you come to Jesus and you get saved. But also day-to-day living, we need to confess our sins. Whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. Admit you're a sinner. He that says he has no sin is a liar. And the truth is not in him. We're sinners.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader. Senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.